Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the Kalamcast podcast. And this is a special historic episode in the sense that this is the very first episode in which I'm actually fasting while conducting the episode. So it's also quite historic and memorable for the very fact that we are delving into a topic that we've never delved before since the beginning of this particular pandemic. And that is the conspiracy theories surrounding the pandemic. And with me, I've got a special guest, which is known to us all. He's been a previous guest as well. He has somehow become the unofficial movie reviewer of the podcast, whereas in reality, he's far more capable of several things. And with me, of course, is Almir Kolan. So as I mentioned, brother Almir, at the beginning, we are delving into a very fascinating topic. That is in relation to the numerous conspiracy theories that have popped up as a result of the coronavirus. You know, the coronavirus has affected every single one of us. We are all familiar with these words, social distancing, social isolation, pandemic, you know, herd immunity, all of these things we've become accustomed to some degree. And unfortunately, with that has come so many other things, so many unnecessary negative things perhaps, which have influenced how we perceive current events, the world around us, you know, what is the actual cause of the coronavirus. For example, there's a very prevalent theory which exists amongst those who are into these things in the first place, and it flourishes basically on social media that the actual cause of the pandemic is 5G. Now, have you ever come across these things yourself in the dark holes of the internet?
Definitely. Bill Gates vaccines, 5G.
So Bill Gates is obviously quite well known to us all as well. And he, you know, interestingly enough, has become a part of this conspiracy theory that through his vaccines, he is actually causing a disease to spread rather than eliminate it altogether.
So last night I was reading, they were saying, I was wondering where the Bill Gates going to fit into this. So it's interesting, they say Bill Gates, well, look how he made his company. He was cheating, lying, deceiving to create, you know, Microsoft. And then when he created finally Windows, he made it open for different viruses. And he was making antivirus softwares and making money from that. So therefore,
he's applying the same.
So Microsoft started, I think, in 80s, something like that. The Windows was around 80s, early 90s when it became operational, you know. So he waited, what now, 30 years to adopt the same strategy. Regarding 5G and any type of conspiracy like that, where you have a mass technology or a product or anything that interferes and enslaves people. First, I don't believe that the West is not at that level where you can easily trick them with some technology or solution for a long time and hope that it will fool everybody. There is a lot of people who are experts. They are very vigilant. They don't want to lose their freedoms. They are careful about what they consume. So you can fool them for a short time. There could be a con job in many different things. But to implement and roll something like 5G or something like that, and where only like some sort of technician accidentally by himself while installing notices something, and then it's like it's just a foolish. I mean, we are humans. We are gifted with the reason and the mind above the animals, so that we can use rational mind and so on. But another side, why do I think target specifically 5G in this case? It's very convenient. It's coming from the far right who are in this battle. If you look America particularly, they are trying to target Huawei, Chinese company that has most of the 5G patents. And then Steve Bannon was before saying that America is fighting China on three fronts, one of it being technology, other being currency and the trade. It's very convenient for these right-wing that they peddle these kind of conspiracies. It's almost like conspiracy in the conspiracy, you know.
What do you suppose is the source of all this, you know, in terms of the following we're talking about? Why do you suppose people are latching on to these conspiracy theories and claiming them as truth?
we know that there are some conspiracies, people who want to dominate the world for whatever reason, financially or to gain the power. These are the strongest cravings of men. And we also know that there is evil in the world. We have seen people use political system for the political advantage. People who have used economy and financial crisis to enrich themselves. It is not unheard of that now people use health crisis to enrich themselves. So people do different things if they don't have an ethics, and there are plenty of these kind of people. They will use any opportunity. They will either create opportunity somehow or try to benefit. Muslims have seen this firsthand with many of the wars. Somebody lied about, for example, Iraq war, definitely. Somebody made excuse to invade different countries that resulted in massive casualties. So it's not like we don't know about these kind of conspiracies, that they exist. Issue here is that what can we verify? What is something that we know? And what is it that we are accepting half knowingly? Or because even Islamically, we need to check and verify the news.
Towards a certain level, one can understand why there is this rebelliousness that you're talking about. For example, if you tell someone to stay in their home, you're exercising control over people. And the human being, perhaps possibly by his nature, it can be said that he doesn't like to be controlled. And from this basis, there is obvious need to create a reason as to why the order of law should not be followed. Or that control should not be applied, rather.
Right. That's the core of any concern, is that when we look at the outcome of any repressive or tyrannical measures, is it systematically reducing our freedoms? That is a concern. Now, when we look at the West is very much in tune with these kind of oppressive tendencies, let's say, by government. And that's why you will see in America, especially on the right, people are very much concerned. That's why in America they want their guns. They are protesting with the guns. First and Second Amendments, free speech and defense. They have this history where they have grown this backbone that does not want to bend to the rulers. And that's what we find in Islamic traditions, where in narration by in the Muslim, the companions were discussing a statement that the Prophet ﷺ said that towards the end of the days, you know, Muslims, the Romans, or what we call today Westerners, will be in huge numbers. And companions were discussing, how's that? And one of them said that's because his explanation of why the Westerners will be in large numbers is that four things. Things like they take care of their weak, orphans, they recover fast after disaster. And then he said, after these couple of examples, he said they have another one, fifth one, which is that they don't tolerate oppression of their kings. Unfortunately, we have to be truthful here, and that is that West, with its institutions and lifestyle and everything, is the most awake to this idea of freedom. So when you want to impose something, even the app, look at this app that people want to do, download, the COVID-19 app. The immediately privacy, what's going to happen with the data? Is this government going to continue? When is... So there is immediately scrutiny of the government. So that is definitely the good thing and the healthy thing and so on. But here what we are talking about is that sometimes these responses, they need to be balanced with why we are doing these things. What is the information? What is the right reaction? You know, so we don't want at the same time to see something for what it is not. So it's a matter of balancing.
So that's an interesting way of looking at things. From what I've basically understood, there is a psychological underpinning behind all of this, that it's not simply people making certain claims and just throwing them out to see what happens. There is a motivation behind them. And the motivation, as we've basically discussed, is that need to challenge things, that need to challenge that status quo.
And yeah, that's how West stays free. It is natural that government took this reaction, that we are all closed down. Yes, that looks like a loss of freedom, but that's in response to something, a greater damage. Mm. On the surface, it's like, okay, we are losing the freedom. Does the government want to continue this and imprison us? And then, you know, I don't see the evidence of that. Maybe it's overreaction. Maybe they're too fast close the economy, maybe went too deep, maybe too much on the side of the caution. But the nature of this is that this is a new problem and we are dealing with unknown entity. How fast, how deadly, various conflicting information. So government did very cautious thing to shut down economy, to buy us some time to deal with the influx of the patients and stuff like that. Now we are reassessing, and that's that calibration. This is like a boat going through the stormy water. The winds are moving it left and right, and then it's trying to find its direction, its compass. So this is what is happening. So all of the voices, all of the criticism, as long as there is a freedom to do that, this is what helps society learn how to treat these kind of the problem.
If I'm understanding correctly, you're saying that even though there's a negativity involved, there will be a certain degree of positivity once, as a society, we're able to understand some of the arguments and even refute some of the arguments presented.
You will have some ridiculous arguments, like we said, 5G and Bill Gates and, you know, things like that, that have no base. You will have arguments that, oh, China did it, America did it, they want to break stock exchange and buy it. And all of these things, every disaster, somebody benefits and somebody profits and somebody loses. So you have those of these that are just people throwing. Whenever something happens, wind blows, they will say the same argument. So once we pass that, we start thinking, what are the voices? Are those tests accurate, for example? Did we get the estimates? Is it happening because of this different groups? And how effective is isolation? How effective are the masks? How effective are different kind of cures? How long we can do that? Then you put a different dimension. Economic shutdown, will that increase other problems, health burdens, ability to treat patients in other departments? Because we still have people who are dying from diabetes, heart disease, respiratory problems, other problems and sicknesses. And we have people who are committing suicide because of the poverty and economic. All of these angles, slowly over time, you start understanding. So next time you deal with a similar situation, you are better prepared. What we don't want, anytime something like this happens, or any big topic, whether it's a climate change or whatever you want, COVID-19 or a financial crisis or role of the government, you have in the world groups split between left and right. And they are trying to blame and use the issue to portray other party as something. So, for example, in this crisis we have seen, when it started, left was blaming right and laughing at them. They said, oh, this is just a joke. Why are you making? Because at the beginning, the right side was alarmed. Oh, this is coming. Then the tables reversed. Now, this one is saying, oh, this is nothing. We need to continue working. We'll contain the social distance, wash the hands, but that's it. And the left is saying, oh, you just care about profit. You don't care about anybody. We need to be shut down and just print money in unlimited amounts. So completely they come full circles. It's not because of anything else. It's just they are politicizing this like many other issues. So politics center, everybody try to score. And these politicians are very careful to please the public and play the issue in a way that benefits them politically. Now, in all of these things, as the anger builds and suspicion builds amongst the people, Muslims are observing. Now, my worry for the Muslim is that we take a side just because it's on that side and it's against some stereotypes. And then sometimes we intertwine ourselves in a way that just doesn't make any more sense. I'll give you an example. When September 11 happened, a lot of conspiracy. You know, anytime something happens, a lot of different conspiracies. So I remember, I have witnessed that. I've seen that with my own eyes and heard it and read and personally experienced different people who saying these kind of things. You had a Muslim at that time. And until now, people are not still thinking about it. They would have one person, let's say single person, they would have opinion which is contradictory in itself. Okay, so for example, when they think about 9/11, they would simultaneously believe that Bush did it to start a war in Iraq, and they would hate America for it, and, you know, this is a conspiracy, they watch the movie, you know, Loose Change, and whatever all those movies are, and this is how that building exactly fell down, it was detonated, you know, third building, there was no plane, and all of the arguments, science, so they... This proved Bush did. That's how they frame it. Simultaneously, they would believe, 19 hijackers from whatever Muslim Mujahideen waged jihad in America and struck those buildings. And then it was a great victory for Islam and against this big Satan and stuff like that. So same person would simultaneously believe in these two things. These are mutually exclusive things. It's either Bush did it to advance America's interest or these Mujahideen did it for their own interest. You understand? But because we are in a state of a shock and confusion and anger, we sometimes sacrifice reason and hold two simultaneous, mutually exclusive theory in mind. Just like this now, let's say Bill Gates, okay, and the coronavirus vaccine idea. So the same conspiracy theory which says Bill Gates did it to sell us more vaccine, to make more vaccine and get us into, put a chip in us and stuff like that. And the same people say, end this isolation, let's go out. Okay, so if the Bill Gates did it to infect more people and sell you more vaccine and make money from them, and then this isolation obviously works to prevent that, wouldn't you argue, let's stay home to kill the Bill Gates plan so that we don't need the chips and vaccines? Because you see, in a month in Australia, that's it. We finished. No need for vaccine or nothing. We don't have vaccine anyway. In 1 month, finish. So all of the big plan, whoever made the G5 and the vaccines and the pandemic, all of those Bill Gates collapsed by us staying a couple of weeks in the home for a holiday. So why are you then advocating, let's go out? You understand? When that is exactly going to be making the pandemic worse. I heard some scholars saying this means that Imam Mahdi is coming. I heard people saying COVID-19, you know, that verse in Quran mentioning number 19, above them are 19, you know. I think there is something to do with, particularly, let's say, in our Muslim community, which I'm primarily concerned, is that because Muslims have been so much under so much scrutiny, every movement that Muslims have done has been looked and analyzed and examined, so that we started to self-censor ourselves. We start to look for somewhere outside of us for what is the guidance, you know. So people started going, many, many Muslims, as a defense mechanism, especially after 9/11, looking at the Western ideas, philosophies, even how to frame the discussion, point of view, how to analyze, critically evaluate what is going on, you know, who is playing game. Because they understood intuitively that somebody is politicizing this, whatever is happening, whatever the case is. I will give you two examples from the Quran. You see, how media politicize it and how that impacts us is by two examples. When Muslims in Quran mention that they changed their Qibla from one direction of praying to another direction of praying, at that time, media of the day made a huge issue. What are you doing? How are you doing? You pray one day this way, another day this way. What's wrong with you? You don't know which way to pray. Why? That created so much fitna for the Muslims. The believers, a lot of them, it was a stress for them. They didn't know how to respond. That was a huge pressure. But the issue was nothing in itself. When you think about it, for the non-Muslim, somebody who is not a Muslim, what does it do for you where I'm praying? I'm going to go pray left or right. What's it to you? Nothing. So Quran, in a sense, answered to these people, like, this is none of your business. Like, we pray this way, you know, it's nothing to do with you. This first story shows you how the media deals with this. They take an issue, non-issue, they make it issue, they put a pressure on people. People sometimes don't know how to handle it. Now, the effect of that is that if you live under those conditions for a long time, something psychologically starts happening to you. So if you look at the story of Musa, people that are very similar to us, when the Musa came to separate those people who were fighting, on, if you remember the story, he separated one of the people was his from his people, another one was a stranger. So he separated them, and unfortunately, while he was separating them, he punched this one and killed him. Next day, Musa is coming again. He sees the same person from his people and another person fighting again, arguing, and he comes to separate them. Now, as this person was, as Musa was approaching, this person got fearful. And he said, are you coming to kill me like you have killed the guy yesterday? So until that time, nobody knows about this secret. This is a secret between Musa and him. Musa saved his life. So the first sign of danger, this person gives up a secret. And we see the this is the mentality of the people for who live very long time under this oppression of the tyrannical regimes like Firaun. They don't stand with their friend. They don't guard the secrets. They first thing that they find themselves in danger, they are ready to give up on anything that they believe. So when you believe, when you live in those conditions for a long time, you've been scrutinized and everything, there is certain element of self-censorship and the fear, and you are just a little bit paralyzed. On the top of that, you know that there is some stuff is happening. So you are looking rather how to deal with the situation. You want to explain it. And most of the time, you are afraid to justify yourself to those who control narrative. So you will see, for example, when Corona started, Muslims were the fastest to close their mosque. You know, so I said, no problem us doing what's necessary at the time that it's necessary with the advice. And I told you, sometimes even going on the side of caution, no problem. But I sense in the early days of the Muslim community, there was another angle, which is let's not be blamed for any of this. So what if the corona is really as bad and then it comes from the mosque and our places of gathering, what then? So Muslims started closing the mosque before the churches, the casinos, schools, or anything else. They were rushing to show. I sometimes joke, we try to be bigger Catholic than a Pope. You know, we try to just show everybody how we are willing to sacrifice ourselves. And sometimes for me, that sort of idea a little bit bothers me, you know, because dealing with the fear and a stressful or dangerous situation needs to be very rational. When you have irrational fear, that's very dangerous. You know, if I switch off the light here in this room, we don't know where is chair and table. You would be sort of walking very, very extra carefully because you don't know where the things are, you know. But when I switch on the light and you know the table is here, the chair is there, you will still be walking carefully, but you would be more sort of rational in how much you fear. When you don't have a light, when you have a darkness in front of you and you don't see properly what is going on, then you start having this irrational fear more than it's necessary. So I think this is where there is something to do with the fear, experience, and the conditions that is creating these conspiracy, very our community thriving place for many of these conspiracies.
I think in part it is motivated by the fact that we as a community would like to ascribe our problems to an external force. We don't want to be responsible for anything that there is an external force which is working against us, so that ultimately when things are at their worst, we have an excuse, perhaps.
So that's in everything. You mentioned ISIS. No, 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 it's not Muslims. Muslims didn't know it. Oh, it's somebody came, CIA, you know. What about these, you know, people that I know here that they want to do? Oh, no, 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 this is all media. CNN, you know, Fox News. nothing. We are, you know, and then we start throwing some number. 99.9 is peaceful, and then
similarly, you know, there seems to be a common myth, which is basically that members of the Jewish community are chopping down the gharqad, shajarat gharqad, because it's mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for this reason, they cut it down because it has some kind of practical basis or use, as mentioned in the prophetic narrations, towards the end of days, you know, how it will even take part in, you know, wars and things like that.
Yeah.
And for this reason, apparently it is alleged that they are actually cutting down the trees, whereas in reality, there's no evidence to suggest it at all.
Well, look, you know, as I was saying the other night to someone, just because we have to be very careful not to take some speculations that's what's happening in the world and then stitch it with some theology and make it a theological issue, you know. We don't want to be people who are becoming irrational, and that when it comes, let's say, to other evil, that we cannot do that evil. It's not our people, you know. You ask any Turkish man, who is Ataturk? Oh, he's not Turkish, he's actually whatever. You know, what about some of these tyrants that rule us? No, they are not from us, they are from this. What about this one? That, so we seem to be so afraid even to say, well, we have idiots amongst us as equally like anybody else. It's not, I once heard that there is a percentage of people who have certain mental problem, and that's across. And so nothing should surprise us. Nothing should surprise us. I was watching once Alex Jones, you know, the father of all of these conspiracies, you know. And when you hear him, you see that he's got a mental problem. The way he talks about his father, what was he involved with? As a child, he was watching his father dealing with some secret government projects, and that costed him a health, and that obviously impacted him. And then he become nuts, obsessed with some kind of conspiracies. So I think we need to sort of separate these kind of things, because the biggest conspiracies that we have here will pass us a reality of, you know. Some of my friends ask me, should I buy gold, dig the hole and live there, stack it up with the cereal and toilet paper, live underground until all this is over, you know. There is this fear. It's irrational fear. A few months ago, we talked about that TV series. It was supposed to end the Islamic faith, isn't it? It was supposed to be, oh no, Messiah. Don't watch Messiah. If you let them watch on Netflix Messiah, they'll be all decimated.
For those of you listening, that's also quite a good episode. So you can tune back to that particular episode and have a look.
So you see this fear. People who have nothing, they try to control with the fear. They try to explain everything with fear. So either we will lose the faith, or somebody trying to get us, come to me, you know, come to mommy and daddy, and we'll fix you up. We'll protect you, you know. So it's at the end of the day, conspiracy theories, you know, like if you want to be really serious about it, what you can do. A conspiracy theory is not spectator sport. Every power, any real conspiracy, any evil in the world works by how much weight of power they have, what they can do. So they're working on these things. So if we really want to counter the negative, unethical people who are trying to do something, then we need to do something. As the saying says, it's enough for evil to triumph if a good man do nothing. Meaning that this is players' sport. Power, conspiracy, and the vaccine against conspiracies is a player's sport. You need to be in arena. You need to do something.
I think, you know, one of the lessons that we could potentially take from it is acquiring a sense of maturity in our thinking, that our problems cannot necessarily be isolated towards specific reasons, you know, oh, this person is coming to attack me, he's coming to get me, etc. and so forth. Mm. I think in a way we've been far too accustomed to that level of thinking, simply because we've been witnessing it prior to September 11 in the media and so forth. I mean, just recently, as we were discussing before the actual recording, there was a newspaper article linking, you know, Islamists to communists and saying that they were trying to design a new world order. So we have unfortunately been for far too long the butt of that particular joke, which was never funny in the first place, at least for us. In a way, I think, you know, some of us are wanting to reacquire the narrative. And in that sense, they are actually proliferating some of these conspiracy theories and claiming certain things in the name of them, basically. What comes to mind very easily in this context is, you know, as of recording this, David Icke has been recently banned from Facebook. His videos have been banned from Facebook. They were shared by a number of Muslims, watched by a number of Muslims. And just by the very fact that this has recently been done, it's provoked a bit of discussion within the online community, within social media, as to what else can be banned. You know, why wasn't this banned? You know, this person said this and this and this about Muslims. Why wasn't he banned? You know, he was propagating this false information. Why wasn't Facebook interested then? Do you have any particular opinions or comments with regards to these sentiments?
I think if you look in the world now, as I briefly mentioned, there are two forces that are shaping it. So you see the world is polarized between left and the right, and it's becoming very much more ideologically so. So on the right, you have people who cluster around more and more around religion and certain themes. As same on the left, you have people who have their own ideology that cluster mainly in the absence of religion. Now, forget the Muslims for a moment. On the left, people are mainly absence of religion. And so if you look at these left and right of politics and ideology, you will see very clear demarcation of how they view every issue. So for example, if I look at economic justice or economic system, on the right, those who are more sort of religious and so on, they'll be all pro-capitalism. You need to fix your own problems, smaller government and so on. On the left, okay, bigger government, more tax, social democratic sort of ideas. When it comes to the any other issue, let's say LGBT, on the left, 100% for, on the right, pro-family, abortion, one side yes, another side no, climate change, alarmist deniers. Any issue you can think of, God, religion, family, immigration, role of America as superpower. Then you have some other issues, which is the way they look at nations. So you have the left, they are ashamed of who they are victims. Everything is some privilege of some powerful forces. And they become more and more kind of ashamed of themselves, and everything was result. America was built because, you know, they put the slaves and they built it, and, you know, otherwise they are junk, rubbish country and whatever. On the right, they say, no, we need to control our own borders. We need to be proud of who we are. We build it. You are just ungrateful. And we're going to dominate. Then look at the China. You look at the China. Left accepted, okay, China is going to rise. The right said, no, we're going to beat them. We're going to enforce this and that. So every of these issues is having its own religion and the idea. So West, more and more, this right wing, look at the left, and then they say with all of these ideas, Muslims sort of seems to be integrating to the left because we created this idea that they are against Islamophobia and right is Islamophobic, you know. And so when the Australian article that you mentioned says the communist and Islamist, this is another caricature from the right that we have contributed because we have aligned ourselves, the Muslims have aligned themselves to the left so much. I was just listening the other night, Linda Sarsour. She's attacking Trump, okay? And I have it here. If you want me to, I'll play the clip on the mobile. I was just recording it. And here is the clip, you know. She was basically attacking Trump. And here, if the listeners can hear.
You don't believe in racial justice, economic justice. These are people who are trying to roll back LGBTQ rights and all kinds of things.
Women's rights,
reproductive rights, literally trying to take us back 100 years, and I'm not even exaggerating.
Somebody sent me this podcast where she was discussing about how she's attacking Trump for rolling back LGBT rights and abortion rights. Now, she's a Muslim. How does that make sense for a Muslim to advocate for something like that? That you attack a government, a politician, for rolling these things. So when these people on the right look at the Muslims, they say, well, look, they are taking leftist positions. They 100% like a left. So when they attack left, they also bundle Muslim with them and they say, well, left, they are now labeling all of them communists because, you know, the Green New Deal, just spend the money and don't worry about how we're going to make it. And then Muslims, they are not thinking at all. They just go there for the sake of, again, security. Oh, they will save us when Islamophobia comes to eat us away in the night, you know? And so, and on the right, who is left from the Muslim on the right is you have main Islamophobes who hate Islam. What's her name? Hrisna Ali, that author, infidel author, and all of these, I forgot her name. I don't like to remember even their names. So they are advising the right on what is Islam. So now, between the left and the right, you have these organizations. So most of the tech organization, they're trying to create...
Jan Hirsi.
So the left is organization, Facebook, Apple, you know, Google. They want now the platforms to slowly clean it from the right. Now, they started from the right very far extreme. Alex Jones, and, you know. So all of these, they're deplatforming one by one. That's why you see amongst the right, they realize, hang on a minute, Why are we on a YouTube, Patreon, all of these things? Let's create our own platform. So you have seen exodus of people from these platforms, like Jordan Peterson, for example. He was the early one who realized this for the right, although he's sort of, he's a complicated case. It's not as simple right as people think. But he was the one to recognize, he created ThinkSpot, which is like a Facebook and a Patreon all together in one. And he's got a lot of people on that already. When they label us and caricature with left and right, it's because we put ourselves. But eventually, the left channels and media and influence will not also work for the Muslims. So Muslims need to come up, just like the right side of the politics is coming up with their own infrastructure to deliver the ideas and media and teach and so on. Have a solution. Muslims need to think about independence in terms of how do we, that's just in media, how do we communicate our points of view? Because as a Muslim, let's say economically, I don't agree with either capitalism ideas about economy or socialism. But, you know, I can recognize some elements in left or right that, you know, make sense or they're fine. But I have my own ethics. I have my own ideology that I think it's a much better way, third way, so that they understand where we stand from. But we have not done good enough job to explain that. We just think, we just very simplistically think about every issue that is politicized. And just one small example is a climate change. We have come to believe, you know, if you read Guardian, The Age, and CNN, you believe that all of those people, you know, on the right, they all hate climate. Most of the people of the right, not all, but most, are Christians, isn't it? I mean, you look at the Christian lobby groups, organization, and everything, and yeah, so they're pushing against this climate change narrative. Now, if we read those left, The Guardian and the CNN, we will come to believe as if those Christians, they hate environment. They want to have the worst air quality. They want to be destroy their environment. These people, Christian, believe in God, all of that, family, love their children. We are made as if they are some demons who want to destroy this environment. Really? Do we really think that? They want to destroy? Is the only those people who don't believe in God, who believe in abortion, who believe in that you should kill elderly people if they are a little bit sick? You know, these are the people only who care about animals and air quality and a little bit of how much carbon you have. These are the people who believe when they die, none of that will matter anyway. So how did we end up believing? And then we made it so simple. We don't see the politics. We say, well, where is the Muslim in left and right? Well, Prophet ﷺ said, you know, if you have a time before the Day of Judgment, put a seed and plant it, do it. Well, you see, Muslims are on the left. So simplistic way of thinking, not understanding that this is being politicized. So whether issue is politicized or you have a conspiracy theories that are politicizing issue, we shouldn't be people who cannot think for ourselves, have an independent thought and analyze the evidence around ourselves.
Mm. But oftentimes we find that even if people are analyzing the evidence, they come out with something which is reflective of those ideas which they wanted to be true in the first place.
That's absolutely true. You have people who are small-minded, who don't have a capacity, and who just want to read. The way they read is just to fit a pre-existing notion. They already have a target. They just need ammunition. For those people who want to get out of that, it's very important to learn how to read the news text and how to read the context. And the context is something we say, read between the lines. What is between the lines is the angle. It's the ideas. When you need read the news, you can't just read the text. You need to read intentions of that writer, of that establishment. If you cannot do that, and how you do that? Well, as a young person, it's very difficult. I remember talking to my daughter. She's now in her 20s, but when she was like, I think, 17, 18, she was just about to start university. And, you know, we were chatting and how you're going to go to uni and there'll be different ideas, different things, and even Islamically different school of thoughts and whatever. And she said, but how will I know which school of thought, which idea is right and these kind of things? So I told her, it's very difficult for you to know at this age because you don't have a lot of skills and experience in life to form your own identity, ideas. And this takes a long time to settle your mind. You work whole life. At certain age, it's not reasonable to expect people to have that grasp. And the world is getting more and more complex. We also need to mix with other people and benefit from other people's experience and expertise, who will bring a little bit of perspective. Complex problem that we have these days require a solution that meets the problem at the level of complexity. We don't want to be like George Bush. You know, when George Bush entered in Iraq, he just said, well, I just need to replace the Saddam Hussein, send his soldiers home, and victory accomplished. You know how he put a big banner behind himself, mission accomplished. He didn't understand in either Afghanistan or Iraq complexity, warlords, culture, resistance, mindset, 100 different variables in that model. Complex problem need complex solutions. So we don't want to oversimplify things.
Okay. So from what I've understood of your particular explanation is that oversimplification in and of itself can be an issue for us.
We are the people who invented usul fiqh, how to manage your mind and thoughts. So we should be the people who think. We are so careful to transmit one sentence in the science of hadith, let alone take the entire body of explanation, what's happening in the world, with some shady sources on YouTube.
I feel, you know, ultimately these people who convey this false information, these conspiracy theories, I feel they don't understand necessarily that they are conveying a very poor concept of Islam itself. Because if the idea is that these people are Muslims, or in some cases even pious Muslims, and they're believing in these theories, what does it say about their belief in terms of theology, that they're willing to basically believe in anything?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the lessons perhaps which comes out of this is that a Muslim perhaps needs to be far more vigilant in terms of what he accepts. And that pretty much applies to everything. Basically, if a person who adheres to these conspiracy theories were to hear that statement, he would basically agree with me. But what we are actually talking about is having humility along with these, you know, looking at the evidences, admitting someone doesn't know something if they truly aren't an expert in that particular field. What we have in the past couple of weeks, what we have seen is an exorbitant amount of people who don't really know much of anything postulating their particular opinions. And unfortunately, we see this far too often even within the religious domain as well. People who aren't necessarily qualified at all, they're giving us their particular opinions and so forth, and, you know, refuting in some cases this scholar or that scholar. And I think it basically boils down to that same thing, that people want to figure out a way out of the system, you know, out of the constructs that they've been given, and somehow succeed. You know, it all boils down to that earlier concept which you mentioned, the concept of liberty, finding freedom in something. And with these individuals, it may perhaps be that they are searching for a type of, in inverted commas, intellectual freedom. So do you have anything to sort of contribute with regards to that?
Maybe sometimes also reason for them to search is that they have maybe lost trust, unfortunately, in what's out there as well. And then they're going to those, and the bravery and somebody rebelling against and figuring out it's sort of mythical warrior.
Well, that's a good point. In so many instances within our tradition, we have that example of the scholar. He's speaking against the ruler and telling the ruler the truth, even if the ruler doesn't like it. So it's speaking truth to authority. And I feel perhaps that sentiment is wishing to be echoed. And in that instance, we see what we are currently seeing.
That's right. It's very important Islamic concept that you speak truth to power. And that is when something can cost you. And you are speaking truth to power, not because just there is absence of any consequences after that. Like when Imam Ahmed was speaking truth to power, it's because people were clinging on his word. There was a trust developed with people and Imam Ahmed that they wanted to know what he thinks. So people entrusted him agency of making conclusion. So when we think and speak on behalf of Islam or people or anything. We need to think, who entrusted us this role? Did anybody ask us, what do you think? So we need to know our place, really. Who is asking us? Before we speak on any issue, somebody need to trust us. So when it comes to giving and being tasked with making decision, this is a relationship of trust that is already formed before decision is to be made. So for example, people have that relationship with the mosque, with the local board that runs the mosque, or a representative organization, or somebody, or they entrust them, empower them to, with their trust, to make the decision. Often young people, they want to jump that phase. You know how they say, oh, it's not what you know, who you know, and, you know, they want to get a job, and, oh, you know, they just, knowing you creates the trust. Sometimes when I know you, I don't want exactly to give you the job because I know you. So it's not just who we know, but who do we trust with what we know. This relationship somehow is a little bit missing as well. So sometimes young people are a bit not patient, so they want to jump, or people are not very experienced, and they just want to jump out there. But we need to be mindful. We need to have somebody who will a little bit advise us, ground us in what is going on, give us some perspective. And probably those who are in the positions, as I mentioned before, we are making, I think, as a community mistake by unconditionally aligning too far to the left. And I see now many Muslims going on the opposite, on the right. So it wouldn't be surprising that we have this politics of screaming, cancel culture, calling out culture, you know, all of that, embracing adab of these left and right as they are battling their own war, and we are sort of observing and adopting their mannerism rather than what is the truth, what is the justice based on our own source.
So I think that's a very powerful ending for this particular podcast, and it's a very thoughtful way to end this particular podcast. And it certainly gives us something to think about in the weeks to come, particularly in this era of forwards. And I certainly know from my own experience, I've been forwarded so many videos and so many text messages and things of the like, postulating a particular opinion or theory or lesson. It's very easy to become inundated with these things. But I believe, as our guest has explained to us, that the important thing to walk away with is to be thoughtful of this particular situation, seek the truth, have humility, and of course have patience along with these things. So I thank you, Brother Almir, for your time, and once again pray that you keep safe during these difficult times.
Thank you very much.